This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation of Hearts Grant is brought to you by Alive, Burger King, Central Bank, The Cleveland Clinic, Commonwealth Farm Center, Click, Ministry of Tourism, Printmasters, Ross Electric Motors, and Wendy's.
I am dancing with an angel. Oh, what a girl in my arms. Just a little polka, any other polka. But oh, what a girl in my arms tonight. Oh, what a girl in my arms. I am dancing with Bernita. With Bernita, Bernita, Bernita. I am dancing with Bernita. With Bernita, Bernita.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation, live and in full effect on this beautiful Monday afternoon, July 28th, 2025. Guys, I hope you're good out there. I hope that all is well with you and yours and that you had a safe weekend. I know that there's a lot of chatter going on, and I know that you are eager to talk about it. But before we do that, I got a shout out to Kalik. Kalik wants to guys let you guys know that you could win up to $200,000 in cold, hard cash. Just play pop the top. Check it out. Your favorite Kalik beverage. You can be able to look under the cap, and you can become a winner of $200,000 in cash and prizes, merchandise, and whatnot. Just check it out and remind you to drink responsibly, boy. So do what you got to do in those particular spaces. Guys, pick up your Guardian newspaper. All the information's in the paper today. Prime Minister, no crisis in immigration. No crisis in immigration. Davis rejects the FNM claims. And it's peculiar. I'd like to have a conversation about that today. How we have escalated to the point of national crisis in less than 4 years with an issue that existed for generations. And the FNM had the majority of leadership under this particular space. I'd like to know how, whether or not this is just the tables turning, or whether or not this is just political malarkey and mischief, just to be able to identify and oppose for the sake of it. Because this is an issue that existed. And I hear what the Prime Minister says, and I think he's isolated the kind of concept to a current position as it relates to a crisis, a current crisis based upon the environment that exists in this particular space. But I think that we have pushed past that threshold some decades ago. Yeah. If we have, and I've continued to be able to look for that, I've looked up and down. I've looked up and down and Wilford Library, I think they say it's over at the Specials Collections Edition. But I won't take it. I won't take it home, ingest it, read it, see exactly what's what. But there's a book that was written in 1979 called The Haitian Problem. It gives some statistics about numerically to be able to identify some of the issues that they were suffering back in 1979. The book was released in 1979. It became sort of a hot topic in 1981, which is 2 years after, right? But the acquisition and, you know, the putting together of the information had existed prior to that. So this would have been just after independence, essentially. The data was collected, identified, scrutinized, and then compiled into a book by 79. So to say that we don't have a Haitian problem or it's not a crisis is sort of a fallacy. But the truth is that I don't know whether or not we can identify this solely for the purposes under the PLP regime, under this New Day rulership, that we can exacerbate this kind of sort of a concept to say that, okay, now is a problem now. Yeah, I think it's unfair. It's political mischief at its best. Yeah. But nonetheless, these are issues that have not been tackled. Not under the leadership of Hubert Alexander Ingram. The closest we would have gotten to that is seeing Branville under his regime. Seeing Branville being fired when he tried to exert his authority, what he assumed he had, based upon a constitutional position and the expectation for him to perform. I guess the overarching thing there was one thing, was that he serves at the pleasure of the prime minister. So this is a lot, guys. Enjoy me in conversation. Let's be able to chop these things down and talk about those things. The biometric cards expected in early 2026. Official, at least an alleviant. Talk to me. At least that's an alleviant for you. Talk to me. Yeah, for those persons, especially for the Free National Movement, who is a major contender looking to be able to snatch the rules from the PLP, at least that's an alleviant for you. If we don't expect this, the biometric cards, they're not expected until early 2026, you could kind of give a sigh of relief that we're not going to be going to a snap election this year. Yeah. We're not going to be going to a snap election this year. So officials from the Parliamentary Registration Department expect the new biometric voters card to be rolled out in early 2026 in time for the next general election. The amendment to the Parliamentary Election Act was tabled in the House of Assembly last week. Members of the opposition have about the tight timeline for the new voters card, right? Check this out, guys. You could be able to join me in conversation. I'd like to be able to jam with you. The Tribune president said that he's seeking the PLP nod from Mike Howe. We can be able to see that also in the Tribune. You can be able to see a story down there where you have Shane Gibson's face. And I say Shane Gibson strategically right after we talk about Mike Howe. You have Shane Gibson's face. And you also have Renwood Wells' face. And it's just talking about balance, I think, and stability, if I could remember correctly. I'll open it up and see exactly what's what. But I'd like you to join me in conversation today. I'd love that. Let's have an open line conversation today. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-720. Or you can hit me up, 422-4796. Let's take a quick commercial break, guys, and be right back after this.
Foundation. Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
When it comes to burgers and flavor, you already know he's the king. And he's the king of crunch, the master of flavor. And he's gonna set your taste buds on fire. I'm talking about the new King Crunch sandwiches at Burger King Nassau. No cap on this one. Crispy fried onions, pepper jack cheese, and a bold chipotle sauce. Can't forget about the fixings that cover that crispy chicken patty. And if you love your beef patties, two flame grilled beef patties on BK's new King Crunch sandwiches. They're big and bolder than the other guys. But hurry, they're only at Burger King Nassau for a limited time. So try one today.
Was on a rake and scrape. No son was told by Gino D. I grew up on K. I grew up on Brown. I grew up on R. Grew up on Elon Moxie. Really hope that you don't feel. Hope you don't feel cause I play IME and think. I don't need my rake and scrape. I hope that y'all don't think I let it go. Hope you don't think cause I make rap music and think. That I don't let CVS play. That I won't play no Smokey Double O. My old mind will tell me how it used to be.
Tell me
how they would get jiggy and ting. Could the sound of Reagan's great, whoa. Feel like my generation eased up on this thing. Like we ain't grew up on this thing. A part of me still wanna sing. They Reagan's great gone, then they try put it in a coffin. But this thing give you that feeling. Where Reagan's great gone, then we're going down with all them songs, then. I still just wanna jump around and sing songs by Iris Star and Ting. Some of the greatest stories ever told was on a rake and scrape. No, some was told by Gino D. I grew up on K. I grew up on Ron. I grew up on R. Grew up on Elon Moxie. Really hope that you don't feel. Hope you don't feel cause I play.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Quinn, you're bad still. My God, every time I hear that, you got me charming, my brother. That's good stuff, guys. Join me in conversation 323-622-322-5-4-3-1-6. 325-4259 anywhere for the Family Violence 242-300. 524-7-9-6. I don't know. I mean, there is a thin line between love and hate and a thin line between participation and neutrality. Nationalistic neutrality. We're seeing Deputy Karen consider a bid for the PLP, and it'll be an honor of a lifetime. He starts to be able to talk about that, to follow in his family's footsteps in my count, and his commitment in those particular areas. We know that Deputy has also been one of the person, those people who have committed significantly to national service. And so not to be able to strip them of anything, but I know that the question of journalistic integrity and the autonomy that he has at the helm of one of the larger media houses in the country that disseminates information on a day-to-day basis, maybe people scrutinize it. Maybe people view it sort of a sideways. Yeah. And being able to make a determination as to whether or not he should do that, I think he should go for it. This is just me. Yeah, when you say things like, you know, my family's, everybody will read into it. Oh, he just won this, or he just, everybody will read into it. But at the forefront, we would have been able to hear him talk about to follow in his family's footsteps in my count. It's a noble thing. Yeah, I often think about that. And then I think to myself, who are we to stop someone from being able to pursue those particular things? Yeah. Well, you have the detractors, you have your naysayers, you have those persons who oppose you. But if you have this determination within yourself to push forward, I encourage him. I really do. I encourage him. Now, I do also encourage him to rid himself of the authority that he has from an official standpoint in the event that he steps over into this kind of a space. It's always kind of a murky area, right? You want to be able to hold on to what you have because no one knows the position of what exists within the minds of politicians. You understand what I'm saying? Like, you want to go ahead and do what you got to do, but then work for the next 6 months to a year or however long you're working, and you're digging in and going hard and doing all these particular things, and at the very last moment, the party says that they're going to go in a different direction. You would have lost a lot of time. Yeah. And so that's for me, and that's why in our culture, there are some feelers that are sent out. Yeah, Hubert Ingraham is big for this. There are some feelers that are sent out, yeah, just to make a determination. You don't have to use the traditional methods and avenues anymore, right? there are, you know, electronic avenues that we can be able to use and, you know, technologically advanced avenues that we can use. But as it stands now, there should have been some feelers sent out. Yeah, just to see your sentiments, just to see your position. People within the core of the Starwood Council and the PRP to make a determination as to whether or not they have at least your name is floating around the party and get the reception, whether it's a warm reception or not. And then, well, I'm hoping, and I'm sure that he's done this already. Right? That's how you do it. You don't just go out there and say, I won't do this. You send your feelers ahead, you probe. Send your probe down. You identify exactly what's what. You make a determination. You identify. You map the land. You make, and then you, when it come back, then you say, based upon the data that you received, you take your first step. And so hopefully he received good data, and he could be able to get in there. But between him and, because there are sort of speculations that exist that says it's a possibility that your boy, Sheen Gibson, is looking at that seat also. There has McIntosh had made his proclamation that he won't be giving himself up, giving himself for service in the next general election. And so persons start to speculate from then. Talk to me, 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259, anywhere for the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Praise
God. But the country could do better.
Talk to me about it.
Our politicians can do better.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Who's running our country, the colonizers or the colonizers' slaves? Which one?
Well, we say we're in a different dispensation now. So,
we're still slaves.
The colonizers look slaves. Like us now.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
We're still slaves walking around without the chains. Okay, the chain is on our mind. Why it feels like to me it's a setup to keep black countries, black nations down. That's how it seems to me. Okay?
So.
We do have a immigration problem in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what our prime minister is talking about,
mm-hmm.
who he is trying to, okay? Everybody has their own homeland, and to allow other people to come into our country illegally,
mm-hmm.
and want to fight us for our own homeland, that's a no-no. You need to stay in your country and fight for your own homeland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if you want to come to somebody else's country, you can't be harassing the citizens of that country. That is crazy to me. We do have a problem. It's been a problem for years and years and years, since Finland time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So tell him to stop his nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
I appreciate your telephone call. Thank you so much, guys. Give me a call, 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from a family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. I was trying to pin your accent. I didn't want to get in your business, but I was trying to pin your accent. I didn't know if it was Harbor Island, Abaco, because I didn't know. No, it wasn't Abaco. Either it was Harbor Island or Turks Island. She's talking strong about our home. So it had to have been Harbor Island. I was trying to pin your accent. All right? So don't worry about me, right? Guys, give me a call and let's be a part of the conversation. Let me take the next telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, Dwight. How you doing?
No. This isn't Dwight. This is Howard.
Okay. Hey, Howard. How are you doing,
man? All is well, man. What's up, man?
I'm first-time caller.
I appreciate you, man.
Do have an immigration problem,
mm-hmm.
because based on what the prime minister is saying, that the camp or the place on Carmichael Road is empty. The reason why I think it's empty because everyone is coming in on flights now. And that's the way of them getting in and them being able to facilitate their way through the country. Because I'm driving in this country every day, going in food stores, going in areas that the average person doesn't go. And I'm seeing new faces, not saying that new faces are you know, aren't citizen, but I'm seeing new faces everywhere I go. And if you go in food stores, you're seeing them parking. If you go elsewhere, and this is a story that I had one day when I was in Village Road Shopping Center. I met one, couldn't speak a bit of English, but yes, still he, you know, said he looking for a job in that sense, you know, because he had an envelope. And I tell him he got to keep looking. And after a couple minutes, trying to, you know, interpret him that he got to keep looking, he said he's hungry, so he gestured with his hand to his mouth. So I went to give him $2. He told me that isn't enough, so he wanted to fight me. So he, I need to give him more money. You know, so I think we do have an immigration problem, and our leaders are just playing it down because Fred Mitchell once said we did national insurance with people coming in and contributing, and I think this is another way on them facilitating it.
Well, I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Thank you so very kindly for that. Okay, so I hate to do this because it seems as though there is a line that's being drawn in the sand and there's an expectation to be able to categorize us and them, to identify us and then to be able to differentiate them, right? And for the most part, that has been very superficial, the assessment thereof, right? Okay, this fella sound like he have a heavy accent. Oh my God, look at the cheekbones. No, that skin tone look like that is not of a Bahamian hue. Yeah, so very superficial how persons have made this determination. And don't play stupid with me, okay? Stop it, okay? You're not going to call here and play fool with me like, oh my God, Howard, were you talking about the cheekbones? Yeah, I didn't teach myself this. This is was taught to me by the generations before. This is what you could look out for. This is how certain environments are. And for the most part, it's been concentrate on Haitians. It has been concentrate on Haitians. Now, I'm no advocate for any one race or another. In fact, I often tell you about my father's father and how he is from Turks and Caicos, and my father being the first generation Bahamian who endured, him and his brothers and so forth and so on, who endured that sort of an idea that says, you are driftwood, you're not a belonger, you're not supposed to be here, so forth and so on. The only sense of alleviation that he would have gotten as a Turks Islander, talk to me. Y'all just don't want to talk like this, though. Y'all don't want to have an honest conversation. You just want to be able to allow, if not, we could be able to have the jubilee of our conversation being emotion. Huh? The Judah of our conversation, the forerunner, the banner is emotion. Now, that's bananas to me. That's bananas. So I often tell you about the fact that I am not a stranger. I didn't endure these things, right? I didn't endure these things. I come out fat and red with curly hair. And so my grandmother them love me because they got a pinch of racism in them. Oh my God, oh my God, I didn't tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. They like red people. That's what they like. Oh my God, baby, oh my God. Look at the fat baby. They like things like that. Yeah, so I didn't endure that. What my father had to endure. And the only alleviation my father would have had is when there had been an increasing number of Haitians popping up in the community. So the focus shifted. But the assessment that we keep making about Haitians is superficial. And the Prime Minister says it's not a Haitian crisis, that we've repatriated 15,000 persons, that you haven't seen any landings the way that you thought that you've seen over the past 4 years, that these areas we haven't been dealing with, more specifically for Haitians. Now, we ain't talking about the Chinese. We ain't talking about those particular things. We're talking more specifically about Haitians. And the concentration, I don't know whether or not because somebody convinced you that Haitians, I just don't know what it is. But whatever it is, we have to make a better assessment. And there has to be a better valuation of who should be here and who should not be here. And maybe this is another argument for the biometrics to be able to be reintroduced. Yeah. Maybe this is an argument to be able to identify, scrutinize, register, track whatever we have to do within the confines of humanity, humanitarian posture, from a global standpoint. Yeah, we don't want to shoot up people in our waters and whatnot. Yeah, we wouldn't want to be inhumane like that. So whatever we need to do to properly identify this, I think we should do. And I think that should be at the forefront of a manifesto, of an agenda for any government that's serious about being able to go forward. This is not saying eradication. This is not saying significant repatriation. Whilst those things are absolutely required, there is a step necessary to at least evaluate, right? When the former administration came in, we were dumbfounded by the fact that shanty towns, that in the morning you pass, you see 1,500 Haitians at 6 o'clock in the morning. The immigration department went out there midday and say they only find 1,200 people or whatever the case may be. Blew our minds. How? There needs to be a better way that we can be able to do this stuff. Quick break, guys. Very quick break. Going to be right back after this.
Shop early to get your uniforms and catch Janae's Uniform Center's buy four, get one free sale. Pre-monogrammed and regular school shirts, dry fit and cotton polos, jumpers, skirts, boys' long and short pants, PE shorts, underclothes, tights, socks, neckties, belts, sleeping mats, hair accessories, and character work desk. Get 50% off backpacks, lunch bags, and raincoats. Buy four school shirts, get one free. Buy two skirts, jumpers, or pants, get the third 50% off. Need embroidery and monogramming done? Visit Janae's Uniform Center early. Beat the back of school rush. Janae's Chesapeake Road back to school special. Restrictions apply. Tell
them. The Ministry of Tourism, Investments, and Aviation invites you. Caribbean Journal's Bahamas Travel and Sustainability Awards. From best beach to best boutique hotel, this is your chance to support the people and places that make the Bahamas unforgettable. Voting opens now through September 2nd via Caribbean Journal's official site and ballot link. Let's show the world why the Bahamas is more than a destination. It's a lifetime of islands.
Pop the top with Collect. Check your cap by 700. 200,000 in cash and prizes. With winners on different islands. Collect. Pop the top with Collect. Check your cap by 700. You could win free bears. Take a sip and collect merchandise. Matter say. I pop mine out. Extra Marie got up. I pop mine out. Won't come and eat loop trip. Free bears out. Pop a go and undress. Check your cap. Bring your go around Bahama. Collect. Pop the top with Collect. Check your cap by 700. You could win free bears. Take a sip and collect merchandise. Matter say.
Drink responsibly, bye.
Throughout history, from bartering in ancient markets to the invention of paper currency, convenience has been at the heart of the way we pay. As time marched on, so have we, from barter to cash and cash to digital. Whether you pay with an online bank transfer, digital wallet, or contactless card, with digital payments, options abound. The world never stops evolving, and neither should you. Choose freedom. Choose flexibility. Choose convenience. The future of pay is digital. Visit us online at livedigitalbahamas.com and on social media.
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now and to be alive.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Yeah, yeah, yo.
Yo, hey yo, we come a long way and we just begun. Come on, lift up your heads in the rising sun and just sing it out loud.
I am a Bohemian.
Come on, sing it out loud.
I am a Bohemian.
From Bahamas to an Aguan Island in between. If you know you in love with the sign and cheer, come on, sing it out loud.
I am a Bohemian.
Come on, sing it out loud.
I am a Bohemian.
I am a Bohemian citizen, 242 resident, native son of the 8 Mile Rock Settlement, highly intelligent.
Native son of the 8 Mile Rock Settlement. Come on, man, talk to me. Rocks or shots. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Grateful to be in your company, always being able to hit it the way that we do. Grateful to be in your company, guys. We're here just talking about these particular things, sort of an open line if you want to be able to talk about leadership. You're talking about immigration. You're talking about all these things. I am here for it. Howard, are you aware of the mass shooting in peaceful Turks and Caicos Island? Peaceful Turks and Caicos Island is wild, okay? It's wild, okay? I told you I was in Turks and Caicos Island in 2009, was it 2009? No, I lied to you. No, my son wasn't born yet. In fact, my wife and I were convinced that we conceived our first child in Turks and Caicos Island. I stayed with my uncle Kenneth. In Leeward, and all my family and everything was there. We really was considering moving to Turks and Caicos, and they have some sand on Leeward Highway. I told you about this. I think I told you this story. Some sand, you know, there's beach sand on Leeward Highway, just being able to go up. I was going back to Leeward. I just came from Blue Hill, going back to Leeward. Hail all my cousins and all my friends and all my people who I knew. A lot of 8 Mile people had moved to Turks and Caicos. And so I went to 5 porches. And one of my friends who was with me in Cuba, he stayed with me in Cuba. All of us stayed together. He said, "Boy Howard, if you come in Turks and Caicos, you need your gun." I said, "But that don't make no sense. Why would I need a gun to come to Turks and Caicos?" Now, this is me. I've been in TI for about 2.5 weeks already. And I see nothing except all the expensive things. I promise you, right? So nonetheless, I drive in this little small car, big as this table, right? Yeah, I rent a car. And I going back, you know, I was telling my auntie Sylvia them, all them, every single, see you later. Because, you know, I was trying to be able to get into either the Palms or the Sands. They just was opening up at this time. And as a result of that, I found myself in this kind of position. I headed back. I didn't heal in everyone. I can see y'all in 2 weeks. I applied for about 5 jobs for my Uncle Felix and all these things like that, right? And they say, "Yeah, we can get you straight, boy. We can get you straight. You could come back down here, and we can take good care of you." I said, "Okay, no problem, right?" They show me land. They say, "This could be your land over here if you want land, right?" It's Turks and Caicos, my family, right? It's my daddy's uncles, right? I love them. They're very lovable guys. So this car in front of me had like 5 guys in the car, just men, just dudes, just drinking. And they stopped quickly in the road. I was speeding. I was speeding in this little car. But they stopped quickly in the road. Bam, right? And I stopped. And the car slid and almost hit them. I promise you, the car didn't hit them. Almost hit them. That led me on a chase of my lifetime. I reverse. When I reverse, they threw all kind of cups and everything at the car. And I said, "What happened to these dudes?" Right? So I thought I was cool. These dudes start to chase me. I said, "Oh, Jesus, I think I come to Turks to die." I said, "Jesus, you tell me to come to TI to die? The devil is a liar." Oh, God, I was so scared. I was never scared like this in my life. In my life, I never was scared like this. So peaceful teas, Turks and Caicos Island is a stretch, sir. You need to stop it. We know that it's been bombarded and overrun by immigrants. We know that the ratio is at least 4 to 1 right now. We know that the belonger status that you've actually opened yourself to and for persons to be able to come down there as a result of these particular things back home. Yeah, we know all these things as a result of what exists on the ground in Haiti. And oftentimes I have conversations with you and say that the Bahamas is 15 years from the exact same existence that we're seeing in Turks and Caicos right now. Now, you could fight me for that if you want to. That's your business. But this is very subtle. that's happening in our country. Very subtle, okay? And it's not only from an angle of Haitians. You're seeing persons coming here who never had nothing in their entire life. And they're coming in here and they're in strategic positions of authority over us. Financially, economically, socially, and otherwise, strategically, and not because of their worth and value. It's because of our view of a foreigner. Oh, God, y'all don't want to have no conversation with me. You won't play games. You won't play games and say, the only reason, the only issue we have in this country is Haitians. But the truth of the matter is that once you're of another ethnicity and another background, yeah, we will strategically place you above Bahamians any place. Yeah, that's no problem. These people never had nothing. They don't know nothing. You bring them here, we got to teach them how to lead us. So now we got to be able to reevaluate this. This problem that you'd like to be able to pin the tail on the donkey of Haitians alone is a problem that began with us and how we view ourselves. We are better than this. We're better than this. But we continue to allow ourselves to stoop to deep lows, simply because we don't value ourselves enough to recognize that we deserve better than this. Let's take this call before we go to break. Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Grant.
What's up, my brother?
I saw you talk related to this conversation about migration. Now, if Haiti's a failed state, and you said something about loving ourselves. I was wondering, why is it that the media and everybody alike is willing to let this situation about our fellow Bohemian gun down over there, regardless of what he was doing, right? And why is everybody willing to let it slip into oblivion?
No.
But if it was a Haitian nationalist here, you would hear all kind of BS from the rights Bahamas and the international community. You see the diversity in the dispensing of international justice. Now, we didn't do any investigation. No type of forensic as to find out what went down there because he don't deserve it. And then, what's the reason for having the embassy if it cost $17,000 to bring back a body? My mom died in Cozumel on a cruise ship, and it was about maybe $4,000 or so, roughly, to bring her back here, right? Mm-hmm. It was just under that, with VAT. So you telling me now, right to the south, where our neighbors that we're supposed to be friendly with, that this could happen with $17,000? What type of BS is that? So all these, I wouldn't even want to talk with the PM statement about the lockup. You know, we don't have a crisis. What I'm saying is, I want to get this very clear, please. You guys come on the radio and talk about we only focus on the Haitians. Of course we're not. I talk about the Chinese. I talk about everybody. But why can't we face the facts that these migrants are the only migrants settling throughout the archipelago? Why are we so naive in our narratives? You see the Chinese in Andres or Iluchu or Abaco or wherever, all over the different sporadic Chinese towns. And I'm not talking about Haitian being misborn. I'm talking about even if we would decide to do that. We have allowed the, you all need to get this belongers permit, BS, whatever type post, nationality act implementation that is. They need to explain it to the Bahamian people, but this belongers permit, BS. Because all of these things are unconstitutional. I'm not expert, but I could read. And I'm vexed the fact that everybody is downplaying this migrant crisis. Everybody shouts, no, this. The next time they call, ask them to spell it. And you guys must stop. The media is for dispensing information. If people are calling and talking factually about a deductive conversation, don't allow people to call and talk and ask you guys to get. I glad those schools you specified that the other day. Don't call the talk show talking about someone else talk show or another caller. That's not the problem. Stop these imbecilic minds from animizing people who are talking sense. Now, all of these people who was talking with Bahamians are xenophobic. I could call their names, tell them, straighten out this problem with this immigration, because what I'm saying is the government is listening. One shantytown act could stop the proliferation of the settlement of the shantytown that is, we know, that is conducive to crime. Whether it be drug smuggling, human smuggling, all of these things interface. These BS of narratives, this psychological operation that Keith Bell running in Abaco, I respect Kai Mills, by the way. But what I'm saying is, I am not going to be pacified or duped about just you deporting a few migrants when silly season is about to approach. So you trying to believe that my mind is so imbecilic that I would feed into your psychological operation? Give me a break. What I'm saying is we don't deserve the right to feel safe, you know. We don't even have a right to wear a bulletproof vest if someone is going to kill you. How imbecilic is that? That to show you how this country is, listen to me, we need a bunch of ordinances. I don't know who's running the country, but it seems to me as if, I don't know where their head's at, but they can't be for behemoth people. We even need to care for the fellow behemoth down there. That's what they're trying to tell you. That's the difference right there. I live in the city.
Brother.
You don't. Most of you guys don't live in the inner city. I go about east or west, just like y'all. My parents work hard, wait. Now, I want
to
get...
I got to... 52, I got to go to a commercial, bro. I got to go to news.
Yeah, but try to get information for Sarge. Sarge is the jungle guy. Who they say in the hospital need help. I'm a poor man, but Sarge saved my life and gave me good advice almost 30 years ago. Got me still here today, okay?
All right, my brother.
I mean a lot to the people. Why did they give him honor? You know Sarge? Everybody on the road knows Sarge, man. Just
all right.
Everybody try up Sarge. That's what they into right now.
All right. Thank you, my brother. Quick break, guys. Get the news. We'll be right back after this.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.
Now you know whenever this big rhythm get lick off, that means it's a movie. Watch the vibe. Let's go.
Yeah.
Watch the vibe. Top dog of the new school king. I don't do the gaga or the goo-goo ting. Best in the West Indies.
Hey.
Take over the world, tell them yes indeed. Wanna go yard, just road some. Wanna go Trini for the best rotis. Go Barbados, Turks and Caicos. Then I go London, ill up the queen. Going everywhere to show them the culture. Pure kung slop, but you see no salsa. Yeah, that's right. On my way. Do what you do, but you can't be beaming train. No sir. Tell me, are you being jelly in a John? Spitting lyrics like the bullets from my tip. Explode like a C4. And they sure like you see shells on the seashore.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM Radio. Howard Grant in your company right now, being able to jam the way that we are, having a very good time with you. The lines are wide open. I'd love you to be able to join me in conversation today. Hit me up, 323-623-6232, 325-4316, anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720, or you can hit me up, 422-4796. We're talking immigration, we're talking national issues. We are, as a nation, as a country, as a people, trying to be able to make an assessment about where we are in terms of how we're moving forward and how things are happening in this kind of a space. Now, I just got some information, and I am going to read it for you. A texter just texted me and says, Howard, I have... and this is just how I do my thing, so don't fight me. So a texter just called me and says, Howard, he says, good morning, brother. I was faced with the situation on Saturday with border control and persons at the airport. I was denied entry into the U.S. having a valid visa that expires in 2031. None of the officials at the airport could say what is the reason. But speaking to our local immigration officer, they said that it's a growing problem and they see developing. Someone needs to be able to look into that. So I sent this over to officials and they indicated to me that there's information on the United States Travel Advisory. Right, there is a travel advisory and some announcements that's being able to be made. Now, you can see that this announcement was made on, well, the closest one I saw was a statement, United States Travel Advisory. Let's see if we can be able to pull this up. This is, they tell me, so they say there's an advisory that the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has put some information, take normal security precautions when traveling to the United States of America. Travel advisory contain important information regarding entry requirements, enhanced border screening, and other essential travel. And this is all the way from April, right? And so they tell you all this information, the border screening, the electric device, and all this information is happening right now. Permanent residents, they talk to you about that, the safety and security, race relation consideration. They talk to you about crimes, the firearms, giving you all this kind of a breakdown of those things. But if there is this sort of an increased position, I'd like to be able to reach out to those officials over at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and find out how persons can be able to circumnavigate this. How do we know whether or not we'll be flagged for this? How do we make a determination as to whether or not we're one of those particular persons, or if we're a candidate, if we're moving to the United States of America, or moving in terms of vacation travel just for a short period, to be able to identify those things? So guys, take caution. I don't know if you're one of those persons out there right now who has suffered that. You get all your information, get everything for some of your for your vacation, and you weren't able to travel. So I'm hoping that you're good. I'm hoping that you can be able to do those things and make some stuff happen. All right? Let's see if we can read some text. So it says, yes, Howard. Also, the gentleman in charge of ORG, an American man, a foreigner, he who sent him here to start a campaign to watch our politics and our government, who is financing him? He is now sitting on at least two government boards. So text is coming through. It says, good afternoon, Howard. You know what's different about the immigration crisis now? This is the first time our government has assisted in the wholesale importation of citizens from Haiti and the resources of the Bahamian people by bringing them in on Bahamas air. Is this a fallacy? We heard the Minister of Foreign Affairs take on his position, the Minister of Foreign Affairs. We heard him indicating and trying to be able to put signs to this, to talk about this is disproportionate. This is far-fetched, the idea of these particular things are, right? We heard these persons talking about this. Is this a fallacy? Is this far-fetched? Are you determined to identify the fact that we are being invaded? This is sort of the structure that I'm seeing. That we are being invaded. Even you are determined to be able to say that these persons are coming into our shores. Is that the posture that we have? Now, keep in mind that I have a healthy fear. I do. I have a healthy fear of the possibility of an unraveling that happens after Alligator Alcatraz. Did you see the little thing? Alligator Alcatraz, right? Where they have a couple thousand persons in this space. They're going to put much more persons in this particular Alligator Alley right there in South Florida. And they got it stuffed away. They got mosquitoes in there. They got all these particular things. Persons are saying that the water pressure is bad. They get horrible food. They don't know exactly how long they're going to be. They don't know the time of the day that they're in right now because it's you see so much. You know, the lights are beaming down 24 hours a day in this kind of a space. You saw it. I saw it on CNN. I saw it in different spaces. They call it Alligator Alcatraz. Okay? And so they identify those things. And Trump had persons and different representatives from different jurisdictions come down and identify how this sort of a makeshift space detention center was set up in preparation for other jurisdictions to ensure that they can develop this in the same way, in the same kind of setup, right? Alligator Alcatraz. You can just type that in. You could be able to find that. And so when you look at this, and you look at this sort of an ambitious concept that ICE has to be able to detain X amount of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Haitians, more specifically, and then repatriate them, move them out from one space to another, my fear, a healthy fear that I have, my fear is that even if a percentage of those persons find their way out of Haiti, Haitians with whatever happened, what percentage of these people are we going to retain? And these are the true asshole, right? Remember when Trump called them asshole? These are the true bottom of the barrel persons because no longer have anything to live for. Yeah, we're not in the United States of America. You've teared us away from our families, the comforts of our environment. We're willing to do whatever it takes to get there. Now the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and other spaces would reap the havoc that they'll kind of be able to pour down upon us. This is a healthy fear that I have. And I often try to encourage and kind of sweep through the newspaper and look for at least a glimmer of precautionary measure that our government would take to ensure that we could be able to alleviate any kind of worry that these fellas come in like this. It's a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing. And maybe I may be naive. Maybe my conditioning may be so rich and concentrate that I am afraid of that kind of cycle, the cyclical nature of life, how it returns to you. Maybe there is a very quiet fear that the quiet rebellion that exists within the veins of a great deal of our brothers and sisters from the South can bubble to the surface if they're put between a rock and a hard place. Yeah, yeah. And 52, I accept what you're saying with the fact that we heard our prime minister speak on it the other evening about the two persons that, right? There's information that I received indicating that, you know, well, let me just be decent because this is an official story, right? But I've been doing some kind of calling around and having good conversations with strategic persons, and there is an investigation ongoing right now. And the government of the Bahamas is waiting to receive the official position on those particular things. But we got some information. And as it is on the land, so it is on the sea. This is essentially what I want to say to you. That the rebellion that exists on the land has transposed itself and now exists on the sea. It views itself in a particular manner where you're seeing authority, but this is rebellion. And so we're just waiting on that, to wait on the official position to be able to identify those things. And like you said, 52, I agree with you 100%. There aren't enough adjutants. There aren't enough persons, whether or not these persons are consumed with their own business, and I don't get in people's business and so forth and so on. But we have so many groupings that, you know, Haitian-Bahamian relations, Haitian-Bahamian humanitarian position, Rights Bahamas, all these particular things are designed to ensure that they police our humanitarian effort to know how to treat Haitians, more specifically. But we never have that kind of a juxtaposed position or that the prism being flipped on the other side, where Bahamians have this adjutant to ensure that we are always treated with the utmost respect. Y'all should not have killed Shadrach. They should not have killed Shadrach. I don't care what he was doing. You should not have killed Shadrach. And I tell you, this is a close story for me, because my Eight Mile Rock family heard me talk about this, and a lot of them tell me that they their eyes were swollen, and their hearts were heavy, because we know Shadrach. We know him. He going to school with us. He's in our yard almost every day. God said, y'all should not have killed Shadrach. And it's a heartfelt story. It's a hard story to be able to have. You want to be able to retain your decorum. You want to be able to do your best to have this kind of a conversation to talk about what our expectations are. You want to talk about nations, even though the consideration of a nation under siege, under fire, however you want to be able to look at Haiti at this particular point, there has to be some order, but it seems like there's none. So this is a different thing now. Nobody given Shadrach right, based upon the information that comes to the forefront. But this is a... How are their last name might not be funny. He said, "Not this might not be funny, but their last name permitted to go to the United States of America." Nah, I don't know about that. Howard, they have to be careful on the information that they're giving to U.S. Customs. I don't understand that. Howard, the only people who are complicit and or in denial can't see the invasion. If you traverse the, if you watch what's happening at the airport, you see it. You see the Haitian immigrants are also being dispersed to the Family Islands via air travel. You need to talk to the people in the U.S. Customs. Says, I understand that the Haitians are being in, are bringing in all manner of things from Haiti. This is such a difficult conversation to have. This is, I've always done my best to touch and go when it comes to immigration. I've always done my best. And it never works. Never once. Soon as you say immigration, boom. And for the most part, I feel like it's very, very emotional. Very emotional. Persons are propelled. They feel convicted to say something about these things. Let's take a telephone call. Call on the line. Go ahead.
Hey, Al, what's up, bro?
Everything good, man. What's up, doing?
All is well. Al, you know something? As a person who has family members from Turks Island, when we talk about a Haitian problem in the country, right? In Grand Bahama, and that's a touchy subject, I can touch this, because it applies to me and my family. My family, on my mom's side, is from Turks Island. A lot of my family members came here after the Union Jack was lowered.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they? They illegal? Howard,
mm-hmm.
Grand Bahama is made up out of Turks Island who? People. All right? We have a whole settlement in Grand Bahama, which is the largest settlement, constituency settlement in the Bahamas, which is 8 Mile Rock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of 8 Mile Rock people are who?
Half of them is TI people.
No, Howard. Let's rephrase. The majority at 8 Mile Rock, from 8 Mile Rock straight down to home. Let's have a conversation, bro.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm right here with you.
All right. Yes, we have Haitians who come here illegally. I understand that. But Howard, it's not just to say we've just to continue to pick on the Haitians. You know, what about how many Chinese here in this country? And there's 21/7. Dominicans. A lot illegally. But the Haitians will always catch the brunt of the blame with any government, past, present. All right? And the majority of those persons who they people is called illegal, Howard, they born here. They have passports, right? They are very educated. I met one about 2 weeks ago, very taken advantage of underprivileged things that they can't have in their country, what some of our own Bahamian young children don't want to take advantage of, Howard.
Wow.
Come on, Howard.
That's the truth.
If you said, Howard, hypothetically, if you send your children to school to learn, right, and you teach them to learn, they grab onto that. But nowadays, children, some of them, Howard, they only go to school to kill time, while the Haitians in school trying to learn A from Z. And this year, and it's on record, that the majority of people who were top of their class were Haitians descendants. Huh? So 50 Cent, what do you name 50 Cent or 52 when y'all call these talk shows? Stop talking about the Haitians. You got some Haitians in this country who are paying NIB, who are contributing, Howard. And I'm not going to sit here no more. It doesn't care who government is. And sit down the Haitians, and I know my family from Turks Island. A lot of them in Grand Bahama come after the independence. So they're illegal too. Have a good day, Howard.
I appreciate the telephone call, my brother. Let me see if I can read this advisory. June 21st, 2025, American Travel Advisory. This is from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in the Bahamas. This is a travel advisory for the United States of America. It says, take normal security precautions when traveling to the United States. Exercise a high degree of caution when traveling to Washington, D.C. and other major cities. This advisory contains important information regarding entry requirements, enhanced border security, border screening, and other essential travel information for Bahamian citizens traveling to the United States of America. It says the requirements talked about, Bahamians require the following documents for travel. When you're traveling by air, police certificate, or a valid U.S. visa. Note, Bahamians traveling on to another country and expecting to transit in the United States of America on their return will need a visa by sea. Valid visa only. Additionally, the U.S. Embassy in Nassau and accessible online at this particular location. Guys, this is the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.com, right? MOFA.gov.bs. MOFA.gov.bs. Don't be one of these persons who are going down to the airport. I couldn't tell you why. I don't know the stipulations. I don't know. And so I intend to be able to find out more information after the show. Right? Because, you know, my family and I want to do some traveling also. So we're just going to be able to look at this and try to make sense of what's happening out here. All right? Let's take this quick break and we'll be right back after this.
It's going down.
Reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
As a local Bahamian bank, we believe that Bahamian businesses are the backbone of our society. At Fidelity, we proudly fuel the dreams of our local entrepreneurs looking to expand. Ready to grow your business? Apply for a Fidelity commercial loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we're back, guys. I don't know. I wanted to be able to kind of give you some advisories as a result of what's happening. And a lot of travelers going to be going down this summer. You're buying your ticket. You're doing this. You're doing that. Take the necessary caution. Go to the American website. Go look at the U.S. Embassy website in the Bahamas. Look at the U.S. Embassy's position. Do some stories before you be able to go out and buy your tickets to find out exactly what's what. Look at this. I don't know if you could be able to call someone to find out whether or not you are, and I guess you won't know until you get up to this kind of a space. But I can't see you spending $2,000 on tickets to get to the States and you can't go. So do what is necessary to be able to identify that. Now, we don't have the power to kind of twist America's arm to say, let us in. And I don't believe that we are exempt from whatever stipulations, positions, and you know, sort of the position that they've taken in the United States of America when dealing with foreigners coming into their space. So this is not an easy thing to do, especially during summertime. We are in August now. You won't go do. You won't go to Ross. You won't go to Marshall's. You won't go to You won't do a little shopping, a little quick. You won't deal with some things. You won't do your back to school shopping and stuff like that. I accept that. But just take caution and identify those things. Guys, go and read Ministry of Foreign Affairs, MOFA.gov. They have an advisory no later than July 17th. It gives significant caution of being able to not travel to Haiti at all. It starts to talk about the political and interference and so forth and so on. Do not look at those things. Look at those things with clarity. And when it comes to being able to travel on your visa, go and look at that also. Okay? Let's take a telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Howard?
All is well, man. What's happening?
Good. Man, I feel we got a double standard when it comes to immigration in this country, you know. I think when we think about immigration, we just think about these people illegal landings. You know, and we clearly, you know, we like the big bully in the room when it comes to, like, Haitians. And we think about illegal immigrants, we just say Haitians. But Howard, I can tell you, man, we have people flying in, yeah? Overstaying they welcome, right? Getting work permits, working outside their work permits, right? Bringing their friends, you know? Been here for years with no status and having high-paying jobs, which the Bahamas really want. And it's happening all around this country. So the easy picking is the Haitian. If we stereotype them, when the little light-skinned ones, we praise them, accept them, and admire them around this place. They open their business, use business, and quietly dominate this economy. We don't say nothing. That's the issue that's going on in this country. And you could see it every day. You drive from certain parts of this country, there's a big grouping of foreign internationals. Who ain't look like them Haitians, eh?
No, they ain't
look like them. Who take in more resources than them Haitians out of our country. Who cost in our rent and our stuff to drive up. Because we support what they do on here. That's the bigger conversation we need to have. Wow. When they apply for work permits, and all of a sudden, or setting up businesses and getting away with it because the colonial mindset we have, they must be here illegally. That's what we need to investigate.
Wow. I appreciate your phone call, my brother. Thank you so much. Let's get to the next one. Caller, go ahead.
Yeah, I would.
Hey.
I was prompted to call back. I just wanted to share something. Just give me 2 minutes. Firstly, you see how, like, last time Chandon was giving out the stats on crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
You heard it during the news, right?
Yeah, I heard it.
But why can't they do the same as to citizenship and work permits and all these residency and things issued? And to your last call on David, I know he's not meaning me. I'm talking about colonial mindset because I is the one who first coined the term colonial stain brain. So I ain't into none of them. I was trying to represent what happened to Shadrach, and I was painting a true picture on the ground. Now, I don't know how well-read they are, but common sense can tell you the most contention would be in the power sector. We know what they're saying is true about work permits given to the hierarchy, but what I'm saying is you can document that, and you can track these people. You don't see these people squatting on the land and the government giving them free land. My daughter, 26 years old, right? She said, we also had a conversation, and she was saying that's one of the things that upset her, that she has to buy property and these people just come and get it free. So what I'm saying is, and so the PM had said itself, you have to document 30 years being on the land in order to get it for squatting rights, right? So we're just wallowing and fighting down one another. 52 didn't create the political colonial schism. It's not me. It's not me, Howard. So what I'm saying is, Turks was a British colony, right?
Yeah.
And Haiti.
Well, no. Not was, is.
Yeah, but Howard, mm-hmm. I didn't create this schism, I'm not a political dupe, and I don't get no contracts. I never did, and no even won none. So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying for no supper. All I'm saying is, David dispensed some information that is totally incorrect. If Haitians are having our surnames, how can an imbecile come in the airwaves and tell me, but all the students doing good in government schools is Haitians? That's BS, Howard. You really believe that, Howard? I live in the inner city. I can show you countless of Bahamian
And Haitian children were born there, would drop out of high school and do what they do on the road. Don't come give me no bias.
Yeah.
What type? Ah, would you really believe that?
No.
What type of misinformation is that? So how could you say that? So you have to use common sense. You're animizing me. I urge the Vit and anybody to re-listen to your broadcast. And if you hear me down any Haitians, Howard?
No, I can't say that you have. No,
I did not.
No, you
and
never do. You,
in
fact, you always give me a preamble. You always give me a preamble to say, Howard, I have good friends who are Haitians. I know.
I need to tell them. Now, you're Haitian American guy. I ain't to explain that to nobody, man. But colonial brain. What colonial brain? I speak in the fox on the ground. There's a part of the problem. We need a solution. Everybody of the solution, but the problem remains the same. Give me a break. Pass the shanty down out and that one over.
I appreciate
That's all I'm
you,
saying. These people who we talking about, the immigration could go where they live. And we need to implement some of Trump airport arrival model. That's what we need to do. Give thanks.
I appreciate you, my brother. Yeah, I think we got to be able to take on a very strong position. I think that is one of the things that I look for when it comes to the rolling out of manifestos and vision. And, you know, these issues have existed. So there, you don't have to wait for socially and on talk shows and in other public spaces to be able to see if there are specific issues that arise up during this dispensation for you to be able to make a determination what you will be able to incorporate in your manifesto, in your charter for change, right? You could be able to identify those things and start to be able to dissect that right now. And this is what we've been saying with the Free National Movement. And this is what I'm saying about the Progressive Liberal Party. And this is what we've been saying even after Hurricane Dorian, when we saw the mud and pigeon peas were absolutely decimated, right? And then sort of the introduction of a lot of those persons who are undocumented that came here in Nassau. This would have been almost the second wave of undocumented persons being able to be dispersed in Nassau. And no one knows where these people is right now today. It should have been a second wave. In 2010 was a wave when Hubert Ingraham let 100 and some of them out of the detention center. And I couldn't tell you the percentage of those persons they were able to get back, retain, and to deport. We didn't see that. And so our threat has become a significant strain on our society. 15 years. If on an average we could be able to identify, let's say they haven't torture in every 5 years. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just saying. If we could identify that, how many persons can this equate to that is a strain on our government that happened in 2010? And then here comes another FNM administration from a natural disaster, bringing persons from Abaco to Grand Bahama. I'm sorry, from Abaco to Nassau. Putting them here, tracking them for a little couple of days, so forth and so on, giving them cell phone, doing this, doing that, the next thing. Now you don't know where the people is. Where they is. Yeah. You got to be able to do better than this. You have to be better at being able to articulate the potential that you have through technology and how you're going to utilize these, and you ain't doing nothing, no real application. Both of these things happen under the Free National Movement. Both of these things happen under the Free National Movement. But we can't document and identify. Both of these things happen under the Free National Movement. And now we have to wait for another dispensation to try to figure out, after everything happened in the United States of America reactively, we're going to be placed in this kind of a position to make a determination as to whether or not, all right, we can see how it goes, and then we'll put a strategy together. You're reactive, and it's causing the Bahamian people. It is too much. You're reactive. There is no need for us to have another cycle in national news to talk about immigration for you to be able to sit down and put your heads together and figure out how do you incorporate technology, concepts, your experience, the years that we have, and the small contingent of islands that we have together to be able to create an avenue, a method that we could be able to check out and see who we got on the ground. This ain't difficult, man. This is just work. But the only work you want to do as organizations is to identify how you can denigrate the other. Not build up, for the legacy that exists in your organization, you know, to denigrate the other one. You got to do better than that. Quick break. Got to be right back.
Thursday stress, Friday stress, oh, Saturday stress, even Sunday, my only rest day, stress.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Hungry for a deal that hits the spot and your wallet? Then stop by Wendy's and grab our $15.95 meal deal for two. Choose two of your favorite entrees, a Dave's single, spicy chicken, or a 10-piece nugget. Served with two junior fries and 16-ounce drinks. All for just $15.95. At Wendy's, we're always serving quality food at a great price. Available for a limited time.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Town, your chase and gown. Every crack and crevice you own. You're all over the place, you're trying to roam. You're living a sweet thing at home. I don't care if you live in.
Okay, let's go straight to the lines. Call on the line, you got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Howard. I can't say, you know, 30 seconds, but I want to say, but nonetheless.
What's up, Banton?
Hi, Howard.
All is well, what you say?
Running go on, man. Again,
praise God.
To the nation. Look, strange thing about it, Howard, we're talking about immigration, right? And we're having an honest conversation regarding immigration.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking at the history, the facts, the honest truth, and we're looking at what's occurring currently. It's fair to acknowledge, and it's okay to acknowledge. And it doesn't take anything away from failure, right? Except it exposes it more, being those administrations that served before this current administration. It shows that this administration is doing what is necessary, Howard, based on the facts.
Mm-hmm.
The Prime Minister in his most recent pronouncement, Howard, the most recent pronouncement, the Minister of National Security, in his press conference at the Office of the Prime Minister, acknowledged that there was 13,000 repatriation.
Mm-hmm.
The FNM still trying to figure out how that happened, right? They're still in disbelief. The Prime Minister, just over the weekend, announced 15,000 repatriated, Howard. The Minister of National Security and the Prime Minister, as well as the Minister of Immigration, former and current, because there were two in this administration,
mm-hmm.
all announced that the Progressive Liberal Party is moving strongly, swiftly, to digitizing all of the records relating to immigration in this country. Right, Howard?
Right.
And so when you have that kind of upgrading taking place, the purpose of doing that, Howard, is to isolate who is in this country, to ensure that there is no duplication, to ensure that there is no fraud existing, and to ensure that immigration can... That is what the PLB government is doing. That is what the Philip Ray Davis government is doing. And so One of the biggest problems we have in this country, Howard, you have the opposition who only knows how to oppose, which is the height of ignorance. The height of ignorance, especially in this dispensation of politics. You have to be able to acknowledge truth. You have to be able to be honest about the positivity that is taking place under any administration. And there's a lot of positivity taking place, from immigration to crime, Howard. There's a lot of work that has to be done, a lot more work that has to be done. But Howard, when you have an administration that has repatriated 15,000 illegals, how much more success do you want from an administration? And they're continuing to work and continuing to demolish shanty towns across the country.
Well, they
continuing to enforce the building codes of the Ministry of Work. Listen, Howard, the former administration, they couldn't even get past the court order. They didn't even have what it took in order to successfully navigate moving beyond the court order that restricted them from demolishing shanty towns. It took a PLP government to do that. And at least 7 shanty towns have been demolished. At least. And more are continuing to be demolished, Howard.
The work is
being done. It's the bottom line that I'm making. That's the point, Howard. And
like
there ain't nothing wrong with acknowledging the progression and the success.
But they oppose for the sake of opposing. Now, you say that it's silly for them to oppose. No.
It is.
That's their responsibility to oppose.
No, Howard.
But
it is
not for the sake of opposing.
No, Howard. It is not their responsibility to just oppose. It is their responsibility to be astute, to ensure that the government is doing what it's doing, and when it is seen to be doing what it is doing because it is doing it, to acknowledge that to the Bahamian people because they're an extension of the government. They ain't operating in Disneyland, Howard. They're operating in the Bahamas.
Yeah. But we know that, Anton. I appreciate your telephone call. I got the lines lit right up, my brother. I do appreciate it. We know that our politics has not matured, matriculated, and moved out of that birthing state of, we thought that we were at least the third trimester and being able to come out of that over the past 50 years. But for the most part, a lot of our politicians go in naive and they duplicate what they think they see without study. And so this opposition for the sake of opposition and not opposition for the introduction of a new concept, a new idea, a new theology, a new path is one of the things that's lacking in our political discourse in the country. Let me see if I can take a next telephone call. Caller, go ahead.
Yes, how are you doing, Howard? Sheila Johnson.
What's up, Sheila?
Let me just run through a few points. You should have corrected the wit because he implied that everybody in Morocco is from Turks Island. Being a descendant and being a citizen or legal resident is different than the point that you have, and this is what happens when you conflate and convolute different things. And so it's the same thing when you talk about Haitians in school. And it's very easy to understand. This is not my opinion. This has been checked. If you have 25 students in a class, or 30 students in a class, and let's say 15 of them is of another nationality, and 3 of that nationality is in the top of the class, what happens is that the other 12 is at the bottom of it, and that draws down the average if you actually do the investigation. So this concept of these arguments that we like to do without evidence is the same thing that Anton just did. And the best way is, like, for good governance, is to provide evidence and data. And so if you do different things, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to market your success, you know. Success speaks for itself. And so we wouldn't be having this fight about immigration and all those different things. But just let me get to the point. I just said it because we have to talk about this another day. But you wanted to talk a little over 30 minutes, the economy. Because the economy, we begin to understand our deficiencies and where we are in the 21st century. And we begin to have conversations. We begin to understand how simple it is and how far off our governance is. And let me just use one example. And I don't take this as political because your boy just brought up something about what opposing should do. Michael Pintard in the House of Assembly spoke of land banking, and he spoke of the housing regime before scrunches were there. But if you remove the politics and the government knows about it, I know the PLD does because they've read papers on it. And trust me, I know. That right there, Howard, can bring down housing, the cost of housing, as much as 50%. And so when you say you oppose, the problem is that we don't have real governance where we examine what one is saying, what the other is saying, and have contrast. And so, and that is the problem. Is and so we spend our entire time mirror than rather than the big windshield of going back. And this is why when you hear government sit around and say, oh, I did better than the other guy before me, right? It's not a sign of success. Tell me how you're going to set the benchmark for the government coming after you. And hopefully we'll talk soon this week. Thanks.
Thank you, man. I appreciate your telephone call. Next call. Caller, go ahead.
Howard Grant, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Listen to me. You bring home the second base, the second batter this morning, because you're the home run king for Guardian Radio now. That first one gets strikeouts, and the third one gets strikeouts.
Stop it. Just go ahead.
You bring Aaron Green home.
Oh,
let's get into this immigration problem. People say that the Haitians were here with us for a very long time. But from my heart sense, I used to go in the Chinese food store, John Shea them. So the Chinese those were here before I born too. You know, and then the thing with the schools, whether you believe it or not, my sister, she died now. She was a master teacher at Garvin-Tines Primary. My sister had to learn Creole to get around them children in school because the smartest one in the class will tell the rest of the children to answer in Creole. You can't start them from speaking their language. Then my son graduated from C.V. Battle. That was one of the first times I ever was shamed. There was a young lady there, graduated from C.V. Battle. Howard Grant, the girl.
She said, your son graduated, that's the first time you were shamed? Go ahead and hear the rest.
Why?
I only got 20 seconds, and you're talking long.
Yeah,
hurry up.
No, let me give you 20 seconds.
All right, go ahead.
The girl caught the heck and all. You hear what I'm saying? This was a Haitian girl. And that them people, they showed up. They must bring everybody from whatever area she lived in.
You ain't feed your son that night.
They had the band and all playing their music out there. She was, I tell you, that girl got an automatic job. I believe she's still at Friendly Ford working today. She got hired on the spot after the graduation.
Praise God.
You know? So we have our share of problems, but they're here with us. They're here with us. Somebody said, let's see how we could work this out. They're here.
I appreciate you, Julian. I appreciate
That's
you, Julian. Thank you, my brother. That's it, guys. I can't take no more telephone calls. I can't take anything. He says we're such a funny country. We're trying to be polite and sweet to people who shoot us down in their waters cold. But when they reach in our waters, we must roll out the red carpet. This is a genocide on Bahamians. This is the Texas coming through, guys. This is a genocide on Bahamians. Someone used to call in and say, after every murder, this is ethnic cleansing. Because they're killing us in the streets every day and have expressed that they are ready to go to war for our land. Yeah, this is a lot of vile vitriol. I can't be able to get into that. But I want to thank you guys so much for being able to join us in conversation today. Continue to be able to talk about these things. Let's see if we can continue that. I know this is summertime. I think a lot of persons aren't necessarily here. I see the streets are kind of empty. So let's see if we can be able to join in a good conversation tomorrow, right here on The Foundation. Tomorrow, Godspeed. So good to see you tomorrow, Godspeed, guys. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your this evening. And I'll see you tomorrow. All right, have a great day.
You wanted my shine, because the more you try to bring me down.